Thank you for tuning in to the Pentecostals of Greenville podcast. Our goal is to reach, connect, and equip. We hope this message blesses you. If you want any more information about our church, please visit us at thepentecostalsofgreenville.com.
And so Luke chapter 24, looking at verse 46 through 49, and then we're going to skip over to Acts chapter 2. Luke chapter 24, and taking a look at verse 46, and it says, "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." That's what we're doing in this church. We will be preaching repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. "And ye are witnesses of these things," the Bible says. And in verse 49, he gives clear instruction. He casts vision to the people. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And this is what I would like the church to do. Here is the vision that I am casting for you. I want you to tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." God will do something when we do something. I know I didn't come in here with real, you know, eloquent, pulling deep theological metaphors out this morning. It's very simple that when we do what God has asked us to do, he will do what he wants to do. And so here he is. He says, "I want you to just go." And when we're eager, the worst thing we want to do is what he told them to do. Wait. Right? Here's the new vision. Here's the new logo. Here's the new year. Wait. Right? Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. And when they were waiting," come on somebody, "when they were obedient, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all," somebody help me preach this, "they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And it all originated because somebody said, "I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And it might not seem like much. And it might not seem like I'm making a difference. But if he's told me to wait, I will wait." So when you're obedient to the will and the way and the vision and the purpose that God has for you, great things are in store. And so I want to preach to you a message today. It's the vision going forward for this church. Reaching, somebody say reaching, connecting, and equipping. Let's pray. Let's ask God to give us ears to hear today. Lord, in the name of come on, really, this is a prayer for you. This is a real challenge for you today. God, in the name of Jesus, help me to latch on to what it is that you want to do in my heart and in my life today, God. Give us not just ears to hear, but give us a heart to see it come to fruition, God. Give us a heart to be obedient. Give us a heart that says yes to the will and the way of God. Turn to your neighbor and just repeat this title to him: reaching, connecting, and equipping. Come on, turn to somebody, just let them know. Reaching, connecting, and equipping. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Could we give our praise team, our sound team, our ushers, our welcome team, our Sunday school teachers, come on, could we give everybody a hand? Discipleship class that took place before service. Thank you to everyone that has helped make Sunday come to life. I see today, and you see today, A church that is thriving. We'll make mistakes. We're not perfect. There will be growing pains. I'll repeat it. We are not perfect. No church is. We've been around long enough to understand churches are not perfect because it makes up people, and people are not perfect. But we are thriving. I see today, and you see today, a church that is multicultural. It is multi-generational. I see a church today, and you see it too, a church that's not afraid to serve. It's a church that's not afraid to roll up their sleeves and put a smile on for others that are in times of need. This is a church, and you've seen it. We're not afraid to worship. We're not afraid to praise. We're not afraid to respond to the Word of God. We're not afraid to come to an altar after the Word has been brought forth. I see a church today, and I say this with boldness. I see a church today that is spiritually stable and strong. We are financially stable and strong. I see a church today that is doctrinally stable and strong. And as the pastor of this church, I will just throw in my two cents. We will not waver on that. We will not cave. We will not bow down. I don't care what is offered or what threats would ever come our way. We are not for sale. We are buying the truth and selling it not. We will not bow to the weight of this world. We will not cave to the sin of this world. I don't care what the next church down the road is doing. We are doctrinally stable and strong that we will stand up for truth. And we will, because of that, stand out for truth. I see a church today, and you see a church today. It's full. And it's full of people with testimonies. Full of people where our lives are not perfect. Full of people, if we were to have testimony service, you would get up here and you would maybe begin to talk about some things that are not pretty. Things that maybe we're ashamed of. Things that we regret. Things that make us blush. But oh, thanks be to God that He's pulled us out of the pit, out of the miry clay. We worship here because He's done something for us. We rejoice today because He's washed away the sin in our life. I've got a story to tell, and you've got a story to tell. We're excited about what we get to do because God has changed our life. He's turned us around. Testimonies of how God has broken chains, of how God has restored, and God has pulled us out of the pit. And for some of you, your testimony is still being written out. For some of you, you're maybe testing the waters, or maybe the waters are testing you. Your story's not over. That we rejoice because of what God has done, but we rejoice because we know God is going to do the miracle. God is going to see us through. God is going to protect us. God is our provider. That even if He doesn't answer the prayer, it's your will, not mine. And so I will rejoice even if my prayer is not answered. I will rejoice in my infirmities. I will rejoice in my persecution because, God, I'm looking to You. I see a church today, and you see it too, that is thriving thanks to many pillars and spiritual giants under the sound of my voice. And I say this with such joy, young and old. People that pray, people that fast, people that give, people that sweat and work and toil, And I'll say this for the elderly folks under the sound of my voice. We're standing here today, and we're standing here on the shoulders of giants. That we are beneficiaries of past investments and past sacrifice and past prayers and past visions and past prophecies, that through recessions and pandemics and low times and high times, we are here and the church is thriving. And I've got good news. We're not finished. That this thing, thanks to God and all glory to God, will continue to grow. I say it in faith, but I believe it with everything in me, that God will continue to pour out His Spirit in this city. That souls will continue to come in. That this whole city, I believe it, will know about the Holy Ghost. I believe it that this whole city will know about holiness. I believe it. Come on, is there anybody with me? I believe it that my city will know about baptism in Jesus' name. I believe it that we are not finished. Because if God was done, He would shut the door and rapture the church. But the door is still open. And the clock is still running. And the blood is still flowing. And the Holy Ghost is still pouring. And if that is the case, then God is not done with what He wants to do at the Pentecostals of Greenville. And God is not done with what He wants to do through you. And God is not done with what He's going to do in your home. And what He's going to do in this city. That what we are a part of today and what we will be a part of tomorrow, it's a continuation of what began in Luke chapter 24. It leads me to my text here today that we see in Luke chapter 24, Jesus, He is crucified and He goes in and He defeats death. He conquers the grave and He does it for you and I. And here's Jesus. He is now there in flesh with the disciples and others nearby in Luke chapter 25 and 24. And they're amazed, they're shocked, and they're even a little scared. They're a little nervous, you know. And He's about to ascend into heaven. And what He does immediately before He leaves them physically is He begins to cast vision. It's very important for you and I to understand that God, He is looking for that vision to be cast in Luke chapter 24, but He is looking for that vision to still be followed through and cast here in 2023. It's in this portion of Scripture that we get to this line in verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. He's telling them what to do. He's casting vision and giving instruction and giving direction. And He says, I want you to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And this is very specific. It's nothing great. It's not like He's taking people's talents and saying, I want you to specifically go and do that. No, He's just saying, I want you to preach Jesus and go and wait. And we've read Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3, and we see what happens. The Holy Ghost is poured out because they went and they waited. That souls were added because they preached Jesus. That amazing things can happen when we're obedient to the direction and the plan and the vision that Jesus casts for them back in Luke chapter 24. And I want you to understand this, that the fruit of seeing souls saved and true repentance taking place and people being filled with the Holy Ghost, the fruit was simply a result of them saying yes to the vision. Is that clear this morning? It's very simple that the fruit came when they said yes to the vision. And so today I'm challenging the Pentecostals to say yes to a vision that God has for us in 2023 and beyond. That the vision for this church is very simple. It is to make disciples. We see that this is Jesus' command in Matthew chapter 4, where He addresses two individuals that are fishing, and He says, come and follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of, somebody help me preach this, that I'll make you disciples. And And we see this play out in three ways, meaning we make disciples by doing three things, meaning this is what our church will focus on doing. That's a verb. We're going to do some things. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to use you. God has a plan for you. And if you're ready for it, would you say amen? Amen. I'm on purposely calming myself down from bouncing off the walls this morning because I want to be clear. I felt like just letting it go and preaching that first section and just having church, but we need to be clear on the vision that God has for us going forward, that we will be a church that is reaching, connecting, and equipping. Would you say it with me? We're going to be a church that is reaching, connecting, and equipping. That Jesus, he reached out to souls. And he connected with them and with each other. He went to people's homes and broke bread with them. He went to people's homes that others were saying, why would you go to their homes? Come on, somebody. What was he doing? He was connecting. When he saw the fishermen out fishing, what was he? He was reaching. And then when they came together, he equipped them. He said, I will make you fishers of men. We see the whole vision come to life right there. He's reaching, he's connecting them, and he's equipping them. That I will make you fishers of men. And so the reaching portion of this vision stems from Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. If you're taking notes this morning, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, a very familiar portion of scripture that we have heard and read and focused on as Christians for so long. But it says this, go ye therefore. Somebody say go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That it begins with the word go. That it isn't about sitting back and waiting. That we don't just hope things will take place. And we don't just pray. Prayer is good, but we got to couple it with some action. We don't just have good church for us and nobody else. But we go. Go ye therefore, the Bible says. That there is a sense of urgency in Matthew chapter 28 and 19. Why? Because the Lord knows that there are souls that are at stake. And here we are in 2023 and in this metro area of Greenville and the surrounding cities. There's 170,000 plus people. And they're hurting. They're searching. They're looking for a home. They're looking for a community. They're looking for people to support them. They're looking for someone that will love them. And so we first and foremost, as a church, we must understand the concept and the action that we are a church that is reaching. And so the purpose of giving home Bible studies and the purpose of inviting folks into the house of God, and the purpose of passing out church cards, and the purpose of serve day, and the purpose of these things is because God has called you and I to reach our world, that we must be a reaching church. And so since we are a reaching church, we are not afraid to go and knock on some doors and invite people to the house of God, that we're not afraid to invite a friend or a relative or a brother or a sister or a co-worker. We're not afraid to go ahead and share our testimony. We're not afraid to pray with people in the park or pray with people at the mall or pray with people at... Why? Because we got to understand that God wants us to be a reaching church. Reaching. Somebody say connecting. Jesus didn't just bring the disciples in. He brought them together. And this is carried throughout in the book of Acts. We see it in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And the Bible says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And look at this, and breaking bread from house to house. Going out to dinner, it's biblical. Come on, somebody. taking somebody out to lunch. It is in the war. It's what God is asking us to do. Come on, somebody. They were breaking bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That revival and connection goes hand in hand. That church growth and connecting goes hand in hand. And I know that she's doing sign language, and so I don't know how she's going to interpret this to the people that are watching. But Sister Ushman does a tremendous job with our connect groups. And I hope you're telling our saints that. We are very intentional about our connect groups. And if you're here today and you're not a part of a connect group, I want to encourage you to find yourself a connect group in this church. Why? Because we are better together. We are in this together. Come on, church, we are stronger when we are together. And as the church gets bigger, we must be intentional about being together. Well, I come to church and that just makes me together. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You can come to church, and if I'm being honest with you, sometimes you can come to church, and if you have an isolated mentality, you can leave feeling more lonely. It's the work of the enemy. He can get you around all of this, and the enemy will start to say, you're all alone. You're all alone. It's the work of the enemy. And I will tell you, you can be in a good place and all alone. Adam was in a perfect place, but the Lord said, it is not good for you to be alone. I'm trying to reserve myself because I've got to share with the church, but I've come to let somebody know that we are stronger together, that even for Adam, he was in a perfect place, but God said, it's not good for you to be alone. It's not good. Look, this is a safe place. This is a great place. The church is a beautiful place, but you cannot be alone. We've got to be connected together. We need one another. We go through serious things. We go through trials. And so we are here for one another. We are in this together. We're in this together. That's why I'm so thankful for our youth group. You're in this together, young people. You're not alone. That's why I'm so thankful for our hyphen group. You're not in this alone. You're connected. You're together. That's why I'm so thankful for our thriving seniors group. It's because you're not in this alone. That's why I'm, come on somebody. That's why I'm thankful for the taste testers group. Why? Because yeah, they're eating food, but they're coming together in one mind and one accord that we're in this together. It might just be that it takes a taste testers group for somebody to sit down and say, hey, I'm going through this. Can you pray for me? There's been people here that have come through the church and have been praying in these altars because we play basketball on Thursday nights. I know you don't see the importance of it, but we are better together. That there's something about when we will come together under the banner of Jesus Christ that, hey, you and I, we are in this together. So we are reaching. We are connecting. That the purpose of connect groups and the purpose of youth group and the purpose of hyphen group and the purpose of these things is because we need connection. Somebody say equipping. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Meaning I will equip you and I will put the tools in your hand. I will grow you. I will train you. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, if our team could get that. If you could turn there, if you've got your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Reaching, connecting. And then here in Hebrews 13, equipping. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of everlasting covenant, let him make you Look at this. Perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. You might have skills and abilities that can make you a lot of money. God bless you. You might have skills and abilities that make you well-liked. God bless you. You might have skills and abilities that, I don't know, maybe you're good with your hands and you can make your house look beautiful. Great. But God is letting you know, I'm gonna make you perfect. And that is well-pleasing in my sight, the Lord says. That is what is pleasing in his sight. Working in you to do his will. And that is what, I don't know about you, but I want to please God Almighty. I want to take my talents and my abilities and, hey, God bless you if you can use it to make the house look nice. But, hey, I want to please in this last day. I want to take everything that I have and everything that I am. And I don't know about you, but I want to please the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it might seem small. It might seem insignificant. Oh, I'm just fixing this for the church, or I'm just fixing this wall. Hey, I'm telling you, if it pleases the King of Kings, I am thankful to do whatever I can if I'm pleasing Jesus. That the purpose of Sunday services, it's important that you come to church. Thank you for being in the house of God. It matters. It matters for your marriage. I feel a little preach coming on. It matters for your children. It matters for your mind. Thank you for being in the house. I don't care what you've got going on in your life. When you come to the house of God, you are making the greatest decision. That as for me and my house, I don't care. We're going to serve God. We're going to praise God. We're going to come on, it's the best thing you could do. Honey, we're going to the house of God. Well, I'm tired. I've worked. Hey, it is the best decision that you could make, is making up your mind. We're going to be faithful to the house of God, because it's in a service like this that God can get a hold of your heart and let you know, I've got a purpose for you. I've got a plan for you. I've got something for you. Come on, if you believe that, would you put your hands together? That the purpose of Sunday school, the purpose of Sunday services, and the purpose of Wednesday night church Bible study, the purpose of discipleship class, it is to equip you so that you can become all that God has called you to be. That it's more than just a ritual. I hope you understand that. It's more than just simple attendance. It's more than just a hangout. That you are here to be equipped, because there is a value that you bring to making the vision come to life. And I'm speaking to every person under the sound of my voice today. It takes you to help make the vision come to life. We need you to be reaching. We need you to be equipping. We need you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Come on, this is not a select group of people. This is not just for the folks that have been here longest. This is not just for the people that have the clean background. This is not just for the people that looked the part. It is for you. That no matter where you're coming from, and no matter what your past says, and no matter what your history is, and no matter what the enemy is telling you, God is wanting to use you. There's a purpose for you. There's a calling for you. Well, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. Maybe you're right, but God does. And he says, you know what? You can be forgiven in the name of Jesus. That there is mercy for you. There is grace for you. I feel, come on, somebody. There is love. It's for you. There is joy. It's for you. There is peace. It's for you. It's for you. He did not go to the cross for selected sins. He went to the cross for all sins. He went to the cross for the Jews and the Gentiles. He went to the cross for you and for me. That all sin, all people, it is covered by the blood. Why am I getting into that? It's because the very first thing the enemy does when you start to say, I'm going to be used of the glory of God, is the enemy says, don't you dare think about it. But I've come to let somebody know you can be set free today. You can be set free of the bondage. You can be set free of the addiction. You can be set free from the sin and the weight of this world. It's repentance in Jesus' name. And it's for you that God has something for you. Simon Peter, through what we see in the Gospels, he might have just thought, I'm just here to be a fisherman. But God said, I've got something greater. Saul was just going about his life and putting Christians in prison, and he might have thought, this is just who I am. I'm just going to be the bad guy. But God had something greater. Andrew had just a job that he probably put his head down and thought, this is just who I am. And I'm just what my dad did. It's what my grandfather did. It's just who I am. But God had something greater. That Moses, he didn't see it. He didn't want it. But God had something greater. That Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David. Here's David. He's just tending sheep. He's just the runt of the litter. They didn't even bring him up in the selection process of who should be anointed. And it was Dad that finally said, oh yeah, I forgot almost. I've got one more son tending the sheep. He's out in the field. He's not even in the room. He doesn't have his resume ready. He doesn't have his suit and tie on. But David might have thought all along, I'll just be the runt of the litter. But God had something greater. And hear me, Pentecostals. God has something greater for you. We can't dream it. We can't fathom it. Maybe we can't believe it. But with everything in me, I want to let someone know it's coming. That the fruit, come on, is there anybody with a little faith under the sound of my voice today, that the fruit and the greater things, it is coming. And it's simply a result of saying yes to God's vision. Yes to God's way. And yes to God's direction. Why? Because obedience always bears fruit. I'm going to say it one more time. Obedience always bears fruit. That obedience is what brings the blessings in our life. And obedience will never leave you disappointed. And so hear me this morning. I believe with everything in me that we will see a revival in the public schools of this city because someone will say yes today. I believe that we will see a revival break out at ECU because somebody will say yes today. I believe the revival will break out at Pitt Community because somebody will say yes today. I believe that a revival is going to break out in Winterville and Greenville and Farmville because somebody will say yes today. I see it because God is casting a vision this morning. I see some daughter works that are going to flow from this church. I see some multiple campuses. I see preaching points that will flow from the Pentecostals of Greenville. I see people rising up in a calling that they never thought they could rise up in. And I know it's just a logo today, but I see spiritually that the Holy Ghost flame really is going to flow through this city. Musicians, you can come. That something greater, is on its way. Something, come on, I need somebody to just really dive in deep here as we stand together. And I pray that we can understand that, yes, something greater is on its way. There's a vision that's being cast, and here's the question I have for you today. Can you see it? Can you see it, what God is gonna, come on. Can you see souls that were, that they might have been addicted to drugs, but they come and they lay them at the, can you see that? I know it's gonna take a little faith, but I believe there's gonna be some people that are confused and they walk down towards an aisle and they're baptized in the name of Jesus. I know you don't literally see it, but can you see it in the supernatural? Can you see it in the spiritual? Can you see it in faith? Something greater is on its way. That there's a vision forward for the church, but there's a vision forward for you. That some of you are about to step through doors that you never thought would be possible. And some of you are about to be used in ways that you never thought you could be used in. But it all comes down to a church that either says yes or no. Hot or cold. In or out. In this last day, God is looking for somebody that will make up their mind and say, Lord, I'm saying yes to the vision that you have for this church. Yes. But I also am saying yes to the vision that you have for me. To make the vision come to life, the people must say yes.